The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Toldos. Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchok ben Avraham, Avraham ha'ilidus Yitzchok. These are the generations of Yitzchok, the son of Avraham. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchok. And then the Torah tells us that Yitzchok was 40 years old, and he took Rivka, and Rivka did not give birth. So he waited a long period of time, and then he went and he was mispalel, he prayed to Hashem, both of them. Va'yisreitzetzu habonim b'kirbo. And Vatar Rivki Ishta, the Kodesh Baruch Hu answered, and Rivki conceived. And the children, Vayisreitzetzu Abonim Bekirbo, the children were, there was a great turbulence, and the children were actually fighting in the womb. Vatayimarim Kein Lomazah Anechi, and she said, if this is the case, she had an enormous tsar, pain and anguish. So she said, what is it all worth? And she went to find out what's happening. She went actually to Shem. Shem was the son of Noah, and he was a prophet. She went to his Beis HaMedrash to ask what's happening. So Hashem said, and the prophecy came, Lord, to her, that you shouldn't worry. It's a very abnormal pregnancy. But you should know that there are two goyim, two nations. These are not just two children. Firstly, I mean, it's twins. Secondly, they're not just children, but they are two goyim nations in your womb. And the Rashi brings from the Gemara that the Gemara dashens, the way the word is written, not only goyim, but geyim. The word geyim means great nobility. Not only are they nations, but nations of great aristocracy, of great nobility. Ushnei le'umim, and not only are they nations, but umim, le'umim. Le'umim means an empire. Bimei'ayich yiporedu, that from your womb will come out two great empires, and yiporedu, they will separate. One will go one way and the other will go the other way. And that's why there's so much turbulence, because they are totally contrary to each other. The Gemara tells us what was happening there. They were meriving b'nachle shnei alomis. They were, Yaakov and Esav were quarreling over the inheritance of the two worlds. They both wanted both worlds. Ula'aim mil'aim yamotz. And one nation, one of these empires, will take its strength from the other empire. This means that Rashi brings, Layishfu Bigdulosum. They cannot reign equally, because one will draw its strength from the other empire. Rashi writes, when one rises up, the other will fall. Like it states, Leinismala Tsur Elamichurbona Shalishalaim. The Tsur, the great cities of Esav, will rise up from the destruction of Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim will rise up from the destruction of the great cities of Esav. Lo Yishvu Bigdulosom. They cannot reign equally, because one will draw his strength from the other. Verav yavet so'ir. And in the end, then the older one will serve, will become subservient to the younger one. Vayimlu yomer leledes. Time came to give birth. Vihinei seimim bevitno. And there were twins. Vayetze rishon ameini kula kaderes se'or. The first one came out and he was red, and he was full of hair. Vayikrushmai Esav, and they called him Esav, from the word Osu, Kvanigmar. He was already complete. When he was born, he was already like an older child. Then came his brother, and his hand was holding on to the heel of Esav, and they called his name Yaakov, because he was holding on to the heel of Esav. And Yitzchok was 60. Then the Torah tells us, the children grew up. Esav was a person who knew how to hunt. He was a man of the field. Yaakov ishtom yeshiva olim. Yaakov was an ishtam. Ishtam means a very tam is the word perfect, and also very trusting person. A very trusting person, a very perfect person. Yeshiva olim, he dwelled in the tents. Now, the sages expound. Esav was Yodei Tzad, he knew how to hunt. This means that he was cunning. Actually, the whole hunting is an exercise where you try to mislead the animal. Say, you put something in front of the animal, you put some bait in front of the animal, and you are trying to convince the animal that this is good for him. And you woo him into a trap. In other words, you mislead him to his death. This is what hunting is. So this was Esav. He was mirim abeper. He was greatly talented to mislead people with his mouth. Yaakov ishtom, but Yaakov was tam. Tam means emes. He was perfectly truthful. Not to the right and not to the left. Kipiv kein liboy. Whatever was in his heart, whatever was in his mouth, it was one. Yoshev olim, ohalim, he dwelled in the tents of Torah. In the tents of shame and in the tents of aver. Vayehav Yitzchok ki Esav ki tzayid befiv. Yitzchok loved Esav because he was tzayid befiv. The simple text means that Esav would bring his hunting to Yitzchok, and therefore Yitzchok loved him. Now, what does this mean just because of that? So the Gemara tells us that Esav excelled in Kibbur Aveim. He was a genius when it came to honoring his father. So therefore, his attachment to Yitzchok was very close. But then the Gemara tells us further that Kitzayid Befiv, he also misled and tricked his father. That as someone who would hunt a person, he used to ask his father various questions that gave the father the implication that Esav was a great tzaddik, medakdek b'mitzvos. He was very frum. See, he would ask him, you're supposed to give a certain percentage of the grain. What do you do with salt? See, what do you do with the straw? He asked him these questions. So from there, Yitzchok thought he was medakdek b'mitzvos. He was very, very frum. And he loved him. Berivka evesis Yaakov. But Rivka saw through the smokescreen. She wasn't persuaded, and she wasn't fooled. And therefore, she loved Yaakov. Now, the Torah goes a little further. It says one day, when they were older already, their grandfather Avraham died. And therefore their father Yitzchok was sitting Shiva. And the custom is that when someone is sitting Shiva, you must bring him food the first day. And what does an oval eat? He eats eggs or beans, something which is round, because that's a sign of an oval. It represents a cycle that nobody is free of, or it represents that a person doesn't want to speak, because a bean or an egg has no mouth, no opening. So Vayosid Yaakov Nozid, Vayove Esav Minasodev Hu Ayev. So Yaakov was preparing a bean porridge and for his father. And Esav came from the field and he was very, very tired. And actually the sages tell us that that day Esav committed a lot of avedus. Esav said to Yaakov, give me some of the odim ha'odim hazeh of this red pottage, because I'm starving. Yaakov said, Michra kayemes becheiroscholi. He says, I'll do it, but you must give me something in exchange. He says, what do you want? You're the firstborn, so you have the firstborn birthright. That is what I want in return. Esav said, what is this birthright? What is it for? So he said, it was the schuna. Before the height of the golden calf, so the Kohanim were not chosen yet. So the priesthood went to the firstborn of every family. This is its right. He says, what does that mean? Well, you would serve, you would represent the family in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple. So he said, what good is this? This is what the Pirkei de Reb Lezer, the Medrash, explains. He said, it's good because this kush will bring you a great deal in the world to come. So, and that Esav said, I'm going to die. This world will end. I'm not interested in the next world. I'm interested in this world. So therefore, what do I need it for? I'm more interested in the porridge you have, because that will give me life in this world, rather than the firstborn birthright, which will give me life in the next world. Says Mikan that he was kofar. He denied the world to come. So they made a deal. He said, Ishovli, swear to me that you'll give me my, you give it to me. He did. And in return, he came, he sold him the porridge, and then he ate and he drank. And he shamed, disgraced this birthright. Now the Medrash goes to explain a little further in the Maral that these were two, not just two people, they were two giants. The father of Edom. Incidentally, it states that because it was red, he was called from then on Edom. Now this also is a question. I mean, just because the porridge was red, therefore he was called Edom. Now from Edom came the greatest empire amongst the 70 nations of the world. And then, and that was from Esav. And from Yaakov came Israel. So these were not two children, two nations. Nations of great nobility and empires. The empire of Edom and the empire of Israel. Edom, from Edom came many minor empires. But the greatest of them, the sages tell us, was Rome, the Roman Empire. And the sages tell us that it will be these two empires that will quarrel with each other until the days of the Mashiach. And we see that 2,000 years ago, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the seed of Esav. This was Rome. And we are still in what is known as Golus Edom, the exile of Rome. Now, it was split into minor empires, but actually Rome was the father of what would be called Western culture, say European culture. Yaakov and Esav both had very great and enormous qualities. And they both could have been great righteous people. Fact is, we see that Yitzchok loved Esav, so he had that potential. They were the seed of Avraham and Yitzchok, but Esav chose to use his qualities for some of the most ruthless and cruel episodes in the world: the Romans, the destruction of Beis Hamikdash, the Crusades, all of the European wars, the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, and so forth. Now, each one actually complemented the other. Esav had qualities for this world. Yaakov had qualities for a higher world. But they weren't satisfied to complement each other. Esav wanted to be a king in his own right. Now this little story that the Torah tells us is showing how Esav was ready and willing to trade the next world for this world. He says, "Here you, I need food. That will give me life in this world. The birthright will give me life in the next world. What do I need that for? I'm going to die, and after this world there is nothing." So he was a man of this world. And we see he was a man of the field. He was a man of deceit. And this world, the Gemara says, is Alma de Shikra, a world of deceit, because the physical world in its own right is an imperfect world. And it's a world which misleads one in its own right. Yaakov, on the other hand, he wasn't that interested in the porridge. He was more interested in the birthright. So what was Yaakov interested in? He was interested in higher things in the world. Yaakov was the giant of the spirit. He was interested in Olam HaElyon, in a higher world, in an Olam HaBo, in the next world. And therefore he was the Yeshiva Olim. He dwelled in the tents of Torah, and he was Tam, he was perfect, because the next world is perfect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is perfect. Torah is Hashem Tamima, Meshivos Nefesh. And Tam means Emes, truth. And that's the next world. Therefore, when this trade took place, and Esav traded in his portion in the next world for something that was red, therefore he was called Edom. Because this was a sign always, this is the identification of Edom, this world. Now, later on, the parsha tells us how Yitzchok wanted to bless Esav because he loved Esav. He thought Esav was the greater of the two, and therefore the chain of tradition should go through Esav. But Rivka knew otherwise, and she saved the day, and she sent in Yaakov in his stead, and Yitzchok blessed Yaakov, thinking that he was Esav. And then Esav came and said, "Won't you give me some brochas also?" So he also gave him some brochas. Now there's a Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah, which the Gemara says, and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara is writing about the different idolatrous holidays that the nations of the world had. So then it tells us, there's another one also that's not listed in the Mishnah, Beremi. And this would take place in Rome, in a city in Rome, Achas Leshivim Shona, once every 70 years. Mevin, they would bring Odom Sholem, they would bring a very, very strong man, and a man that was built perfectly, Umarkivin Isayal Odom Higer, and they would put him on the shoulders of a man who was a cripple, Umalbishin Isay Bigde Odom Arishon, and they would put on him the garments, on this very strong, perfect man, they would put on him the garments of Adam Arishon, of the first man, and they would also put on his head a karkifle Sherebi Shmuel. This was a mask which was made from the face of Rebbe Shmuel. I'm going to read it through first, and then we'll go into the Rashi into the interpretation. V'tolu le b'tzavareo mithkal reish zuzi de pisa. And they would hang a chain on this person, and a chain, a necklace on the person, which would be 200 zuz of pisa. Pause. Pause is a very, very valuable, rare, precious stone. And this was a great amount. And then also they would cover the courtyard in the marketplace where they had this holiday with these precious jewels. And then they would shout in front of him, Sach Kiri Plaster, that the declaration, the declaration of the calculation of how many years which was announced by that great prince. They were referring either to Yaakov, Rashi says Yaakov, or Tosfos says they were referring to Yitzchok. Plaster is not true. Achva de Morona Zayafna, the brother of our master, is a crook. The chame chame, he who sees it will see it, the lechame lechame. And he who does not see this will not see it. Mayahani l'ramo b'ramuse, what did it help that crook with his crookedness? Ulezayofna b'zayfnusa, and that person with his fraud. And then they would conclude, umesai min bo hochi boi ledein kad yokum dein. But it will be a very, very tragic day for this one when the other one gets up. Alright. This is what the Gemara says. Now, what does it mean? So Rashi explains as follows. That there was another holiday that they would have in Rome once every 70 years. The significance of once every 70 years was once in a lifetime. Mevin Odom Sholem, a person who was built very nicely, would come. And this was Keneged Esav. This represented Esav. And he would ride on the back of a cripple. This represented Yaakov. Why? Because Soleil Yerechai. Because this was the story which we have in Parshas Vayishlach, that Yaakov wrestled with the angel, and the angel struck Yaakov in the kafayorech, in the loins, and he was limping. He was crippled from this. Later he was cured, but he was limping. Tzolea al ragle. So this represented Yaakov, tzolea al yerechai. And what was this supposed to symbolize? That Esav still overpowers Yaakov. Then they would bring clothing of Odom Arishon, of the first man. Rashi says, Hein bigdei hamudei shohayu le'esav. These were the precious clothing that belonged to Esav. In our Parsha, it states that when Rivka sent Yaakov to receive the blessings, the brochos, so Yaakov said, but my father will touch me and feel me, and he'll know that I'm not Esav, I'm Yaakov. So Rivka says, I'll give you Esav's clothing. And she gave to him the bigdei chamudei, the very precious clothing which she kept in her house. Now, what was she doing in her house with the clothing of Esav? So Rashi explains there, the Chazal tell us, because Esav didn't trust his wife with his clothing, and therefore he kept them by his mother's house. Now, this is something which is not too understandable. I mean, generally, a husband keeps his clothing at home, not in his mother's house. See? Well, he didn't trust his wife with his suits. So the Gemara tells us differently. It's true, but we're speaking of bigdei chamudeis. Bigdei chamudeis means precious clothing. It's not that they were just very expensive suits. It states that Odom Arishon, the first man, he was given clothing by the Almighty. Now what happened to those clothing? Eventually they were passed down, and eventually Nimrod got them. Esav went and killed Nimrod, and he took the clothing, and they ended up by him. These were the bigdei chamudeis. So we're not speaking that he wouldn't trust his wife with his suits, see, even if they were very fine suits. we're speaking of the Bigde Hamuda, is the clothing of Adam HaRishon, of the first man. You can imagine what those clothing were. This is what he wouldn't trust his wife with. And therefore he would keep these secure by Rivka, his mother. So therefore Rivka says, I'll put these clothing on you, to Yaakov. And when Yaakov would go for the brochas, so then Yitzchok wouldn't recognize him. Alright, now these clothing, Bigde Esav, excuse me, Bigde Adam HaRishon, they in the time of the Gemara were still in possession of Esav's descendants from the Romans. And therefore once every 70 years they would take these clothing out of their treasury houses and they would put them on this man. Then they would take a Karkif L'Shar B'Shmuel. That was the mask of Rabbi Shmuel. What was that? Kain Godel. He was the Kain Godel, high priest. Umeharuge Malchus Hoyo. And he, during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when the Romans came in and they started to make harsh decrees and kill Jews, so they killed Rabbi Shmuel. Umeteich Yofiu. But he was exceedingly handsome. Nichnes Belev Bas Kesar. And when the daughter of the Caesar saw him when he was still living, she begged mercy that the king should leave him live, because she was so taken aback by his beauty. So the king said, no, we must kill him. But if you want, Hifshit Orpon, after he's dead, we will remove the skin of his face, the Chonto Baf Sarmon, and we will embalm it, Shetei Mikuyemes, in order that it will stay, the Leishtane, and will remain the same, and we will make a mask of it, and we will retain his beauty. Beidain Munach Beginze Remi. Rashi says, and this also is still in the treasure houses, in the secret places of Rome. So this also they would take out, and they would put this mask on this Odim Sholem, the one that represented Esav. Then they would take a great chain, a great necklace, which was Reish Zuz de Pisa, which was 200 zuz of paws. Who even you kora admi od? Rashi says this is a very, very precious stone. It's not a diamond, it's more precious than a diamond. It's a very, very precious stone. And ena motzi ba'olam, you cannot find it in the world. The Gemara brings in Gittin, Nun Ches, Tesvis brings, Trei Yisrei Pisa Nochis La'olma, two measures of paws, two measures of this precious stone came into the world when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Chad Beremi v'chad b'lachol eilam kule. One went to the Romans, one measure, and the other measure went to the rest of the world. So in other words, this precious stone, were the amount which was given to the whole world, an equal amount was given to Rome. So they would take this out. Then they would take also these stones, and they would cover the courtyards of the marketplace with it, to ornate it and decorate, to celebrate the Simcha. Umachrizin lafonav, and then they would come and they would announce, Sakiri plaster, Cheshbin akatsin, the calculation of the prince. Who was the prince? Rashi says Yaakov. But Tesfis and others say, now they want to refer to Yaakov as a prince, because Yaakov was the adversary of their ancestor Esav. Now they're referring to Yitzchok, because Yitzchok also was their grandfather. Yitzchok, just like Esav was their grandfather, Yitzchok also. So they said the calculation of the prince is Kozov, is a lie. This is the nevuah shekore lebonav la'achris ayomim shesefin ligoyel, because Yitzchok had told his descendants when the Mashiach will come. When will the Mashiach finally come? And when the Mashiach finally comes, they'll be free from the hand of Esav. So they will announce that this declaration is a lie, because you see, Esav is still ruling the world. Then they say, Achva de Marono Zayafno, the brother of our master is a crook. This refers to Yaakov. Why? Why is he a crook? Because he stole the brochos. Echov shel Adoneinu, Esav, the brother of our master Esav, is Zayfanhu. Yaakov shirima le Esav, v'choshav little broch liyos gvir le Echov. He's a crook because he went and he stole the brochos, because Yitzchok gave a brocha, hevi gvir le Echov, you will be the master over your brother. And that bracha was supposed to go to Esav, and Yaakov went and stole it. So he says that the brother of our master is a crook. But Mayahani Ramom Ramusel is after Bizaif Nusa. But what did all of his crookedness help him? After stealing the bracha, Esav is still the master. And then they would say, the Chami Chami, the Lechami Lechami. Those of you who are alive today, if you came to the Simcha, the celebration, and you saw it, you'll see it. But if you missed it, you'll never see it again, because it comes only once in a lifetime, this celebration. And then they finally conclude by saying, "Umesaimin bo, ochi velo dein kadyokum dein, oi." He says, oh, "But oi to Esav, kishi yokum Yaakov. Oi to the one who's riding, when the one who's being ridden, when he will stand up." There they're referring to when one rises up, the other will fall. This is the story. This is the celebration they would hold. It says, "Od achas hoye lehem, ech achas l'shivim shona." There was another celebration which took place once every 70 years in Rome. Now, I'd like to give an explanation to what all of this is. This is from the Maral Prague in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael, Perek Tes Zayin. Firstly, we see that one would ride the other. What is the purpose one would ride the other? Why can't two people just come out into the streets? When one person is riding on another person, or one person is riding on an animal, then he rules the animal. The fact is, this is how a rider controls the animal, from the fact that he's riding on him. And the animal feels then who is the master and who is leading. Secondly, the fact that one is riding on the other, this doesn't allow the one who's being ridden to rule, because the rider doesn't allow the other one to rule. He holds him. So this was the symbol. Not two people, but one on the shoulders of the other, to show that one is ruling and the other is not able to rule, because he's on his shoulders. And this was the nevuah, the prophecy that Rivka received. Ula omil aim yemotz, that one empire will draw its strength from the other empire. They knew that both cannot reign together. If Esav is going to reign, it has to be at Yaakov's expense. If Yaakov is going to reign, it has to be at Esav's expense. This was the peculiar situation between Yaakov and Esav. Many times in the world you'll have where one nation can reign and it's not at another's expense. One can reign on one side of the world and the other on another. Not here. If Esav will reign, it will only be because he is sitting on the shoulders of Yaakov, not allowing Yaakov to get up. If Yaakov gets up, then Esav cannot reign. Kishzeh kom, zeh nofel. When Yaakov will get up, the other one will fall. Therefore, the symbol had to be not two people coming into the courtyard, but one on the shoulders of the other. All right, that was that prophecy. If we go into it a little deeper, it's because we said one was to be the master of this world, and the other was the master of the spiritual world. Both of these worlds cannot reign at the same time. One must lead and the other follow. Either the master is the spirit and the physical follows, or the master is the physical and the spirit follows. These two worlds that Kodesh Baruch Hu created, he created these two worlds in man himself. Man was created ofer min Adonai, he was created from the earth, and he was given a soul from high. So he encompasses both worlds. Both worlds cannot reign. Either man becomes earthly, and then the spirit is smothered, or man elevates himself to something that's spiritual, and the spirit reigns, and the earthliness follows. So therefore, the symbol had to be not two people walking into a courtyard, but one on the shoulders of the other. And therefore, only one is the master. The other is the servant. Then it states, one was Sholem, and the other was Chigar. One was a perfect person who was of a perfect physique, and the other was one who was of a broken physique. The perfect physique, this was symbolic of Esav, because Esav is this world. But what was the broken physique? Why was that symbolic of Yaakov? It states later on that Yaakov was Gibor Hoya. Yaakov was very, very strong, just like Esav. The fact is, he might even have been stronger than Esav. It states later on, when he came to the well, when he went to look for a wife to the house of Lavan, and there was the daughters, say, Rachel and Leah and so forth. So he went, and there was a big stone on the well that all of the shepherds would put there, so nobody would steal the water, and they would wait till all the shepherds came, and all of them together would take the stone off. And when he saw Rachel coming, and he saw that there was no one, the shepherds weren't here yet, he went himself and very easily removed the stone himself. L'hagid ki Yaakov gibor hayo. He was exceedingly strong. So what does it mean that he was symbolized by the chigur, by the one of the broken physique? So it says, Rashi says, this refers to the Gid HaNosha, that when Yaakov was returning from the house of Lavan, and he had his confrontation with Esav, that night he was attacked in the darkness, and he wrestled the whole night, and his opponent could not overcome him. Who was he wrestling with? It states, Sarei Shel Esav. He was wrestling with the angel of Esav. See, the next morning was going to be his confrontation with this Esav. That evening, the angel of Esav came to try to destroy Yaakov. The whole night they wrestled, and it was impossible for the angel to beat him. Finally, right before morning, and the angel said, I had enough, I have to leave. It says, Banoga bekaf yerech, bekaf yerech Yaakov. He went and he touched the thigh of Yaakov, and he wounded him, bekaf yerech. He wounded him in his thigh, in his loins. Actually, what he did is that there's a nerve there that jumped out of place, and then it states that Yaakov couldn't walk, he had to limp. So this was the chigur, this was the cripple they were referring to. Now, what did they want with this? The angel was not able to overcome Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov was not only physically strong, but it wasn't a physical fight. The angel was spiritual. Yaakov was spiritually perfect. And therefore, v'le'yocholei, angel couldn't affect him. However, the angel at the end of the night found a shortcoming in Yaakov. There was a shortcoming. Echisorin. And because of that shortcoming, there was a little imperfection. Then he was able to attack. And this was Noga Bekaf Yerecha. He wounded him in his loin. Medrash tells us that from touching him in his loin, that wound, it's because of that that the descendants of Esav were able to inflict so much injury on the descendants of Yaakov during the Dor HaShmad, when they came and they would attack the Beis HaMikdash. So this was a shortcoming in Yaakov, and that manifested itself by the children. It's interesting to note that the shortcoming was in the thigh. Why? Yaakov, the sages teach us, was the most perfect man ever created. He was the Bechir Shebaovish, the perfection of all of Avraham and the perfection of all of Yitzchak. And that's why Avraham gave birth to a Yitzchak, but also to Yishmael, where the Arabs come from. And Yitzchak gave birth to a Yaakov, but also to an Esav. Yaakov was the one that gave birth to the 12 Shvatim, the 12 sons, the 12 tribes, and they were all righteous. So he was the most perfect man ever created, as a perfect spiritual person. His perfection, as we mentioned, was the spiritual world. And this is the Tzelem Elokim, the image of Hashem that he placed on man. And the image of Hashem manifests itself with a great radiance and light. And that light, the sages tell us, is basically on the face of man. How do we identify a person through his face? Where is the radiance through his face? The Gemara tells us in Baba Tzia, Shufad Yaakov ki Shufad Or Barishon. The radiance of Yaakov was like the radiance and the beauty of Adam HaRishon, of the first man, because he had that image. Now, the thigh, Bar always tells us, dwells in darkness, because it's always covered. Face is always uncovered, and it's always full of light, and the thigh dwells in darkness. This is a sign that there it's very far from the Tzelem Elokim, from the image of Hashem. So the only place he had a shortcoming was where it was very far from the image of Hashem. That was his only shortcoming. And there the angel grabbed a hold and was able to wound him and affected the generations. Now the descendants of Esav understood this. They understood that the only reason why they are capable of ruling at times over Yisrael is because of the shortcoming in Yaakov. So therefore, when they make this simcha, they symbolize Yaakov as someone who has an injury in his leg. He limps. Because then Esav is allowed to ride on him. Actually, this is what Yitzchok gave in the brochas. When Yitzchok blessed Yaakov, what did he say? He said, you will be the master of your brother. See, this is in Bereishis Kof Zayin Pasuk Kof Tes. Then when Esav came along and he said, give me also a brocha. So he said, you will be a slave, a servant to your brother, because I've already told your brother that he will be the master. But when it's torid, what does it mean torid? Yabrun b'nei al pizgomi araiso. When your brothers, when he transgresses the words of the Torah, then ufaraktu ulei malzavarecho. Then you will be able to throw off the yoke from his yoke from your neck. Yaakov said that the bracha is that, excuse me, Yitzchak, that Yaakov will reign, but when the seeds of Yaakov transgress the words of the Torah, then that imperfection of Yaakov will come out, and then the seed of Esau will be able to throw that yoke off their neck. So this they understood. That's why they symbolized this as the one with the perfect physique, the one who limps, and one is riding on the neck of the other. Now, four things they would do to beautify Rome. Firstly, on the one who represented Esau, they would put on him the clothing of Odomaritian, of the first man. Secondly, they would put a chain of very, very precious jewels, pearls, around his neck. Thirdly, secondly, they would put on the mask of Rabbi Shmuel on his face. Then thirdly, the precious jewels. And fourthly, they would put the precious jewels, cover the streets with these precious jewels. Now, what did these four gestures represent? When the Almighty created Odomaritian, the first man, so it states in Tehillim Ches, V'kovid v'hoda ta'atrehu, He gave him kovid and hoder. Now, he created Odom Arishon, it states B'tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem, and he gave him kovid and hoder, and he gave him honor and beauty. So Odom Arishon, the first man, was imbued with two great gifts: the image of the Almighty and honor and beauty. The image of the Almighty, that's within. That has to do with the spark of the soul that's in man. It manifests itself. Because beauty is what people see. And honor always is when it's in relation to the world. If there's nobody here, so then there's no purpose for the honor. Honor is always in relation to others. So Odom Arishon was given both gifts. Yaakov and Esav, we said both, each one was a master in his own way. And being twins, they actually together represented the entire world. When they divided up, so each one represented a half. They both inherited the gifts of Odom Arishon. Yaakov inherited the spirit of Odom Arishon. This is like we mentioned before, it states Shufid Yaakov Kishufid Odom Arishon, the radiance of the face of Yaakov, that was like the radiance of the face of the first man. That showed us the image of Hashem. So this was Yaakov. Esav inherited the external part of Odom Arishon. He was the Baal Eilam Hazeh. He was the master of this world. Therefore, first he inherited his clothing. That's why the Big De Hamuda is, these clothing ended up by Esav. Clothing is an external cover, and it's also an honor. The Yechanan says in the Gemara in Shabbos, he says he always referred to his clothing as machbedosai, as that which honored men. Clothing honors the one that wears them. So this covet, this honor, Esav inherited. This is why we will always find that the children of Esav are very, very concerned with worldly things, at the same time very, very concerned with honor. This is the first thing. Therefore, Big De Hamudas, they would dress him in the clothing of Odom Arishon. Then they would put beautiful, beautiful jewels around his neck, rare and precious jewels. Now, this doesn't represent so much beauty. It represents what we would have referred to as chashivas, something which is very rare. its value is not so much in its beauty. Its value is in the fact that it's so rare. And something which is very rare, by right, adorns a king or a queen. For example, when you find a real rare jewel, so you say that this is something which should be put in the jewels, in the royal jewels, because this represents also something which is precious, something which is kingly. And this also has to do with honor and the external forces of the world. And this is something that Esav wants. And therefore, when this precious jewel came to the world, half of it went to the seed of Esav, and they bring it out for this great simcha. Then they go further, and they adorn the streets with this. What does this tell us? Not only are they interested in this for themselves, but they're also interested in the places where they are. Esav is someone who's makshiv esamokum, who gives great emphasis to where he lives. We find that by Yaakov it states Yosheva Olim. He dwelled in tents. A tent is a very, very humble dwelling place. And it lacks permanence. A tent is moved from one place to the other. These were the dwellings of Yaakov. Why? Because of Yaakov's main dwelling was in the next world, not in this world. When he lives in this world, he still has his head in the next world. So this world to him is, like our sages say, is kiprosder. It's like an antechamber for a great palace of the next world. So therefore, he doesn't place that much emphasis on his castles or on his palaces or to adorn his cities. Esav, on the other hand, who lives in this world, this is his world, and he has no next world. So therefore he places all of his chashivas, all of his emphasis on this world. So it's not enough that he adorns himself, but he also adorns the places where he lives. And we see this in the descendants of Esav. So Maral writes in a place, for example, the descendants of Ishmael, the Arabs. He says, you see, they're a very, very powerful nation. They're a nation of great multitudes, but you see that they're not interested in precious things. They're not interested in palaces. They're not interested in castles. They're not interested in jewels. They're not interested in honor. It's a different nation. But not the seed of Esav. Not Rome, Edom, and you see all of the great European nations that came from there. If it was France or Germany or Austria or Italy, whatever it might have been. By them is the jewels, and the precious jewels, and the precious paintings, and the precious crowns, and the great cities, and the great capitals, and the great halls, and the great courts, and the great castles, and the great palaces. Besides adorning themselves in the most magnificent clothing. Fact is, if you ever see a coronation, or if you see their church ceremonies, their cathedrals, say, this is what you see. Because this all has to do with the kovod and the yokor that was given to Adam Arishon, and that's part of this world. The Tzelem Elokim, the soul of man, that belonged to Yaakov. We once explained that this is why the Gemara brings in Masechet Aveda Zarah, that in the world to come they're going to want a part of the Torah, a part of the reward of the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, go fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah, and they won't be able to. Why? Because Sukkah, that's a mitzvah which represents leaving your home and your castle and dwelling for a week under the schach, under the protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an easy mitzvah for Klal Yisrael, because even during the year, when they live on this world, but they live in a very temporary basis. But Esav cannot fulfill this, because you cannot ask a person, a Jew, you can ask to leave this world, because he doesn't live totally on this world. But to someone whose whole totality is this world, they're not capable of leaving it. This also is, we explain, the Maral explains in a place, he says, why do we find that Esav was so great in honoring his father and mother? The Gemara talks about it. What a Kedushin. What it brings from another Roman that was enormously great in honoring his father and mother. And this is one of the reasons why Yaakov loved him so much. Yitzchok loved him so much. And it states that when Esav used to come and honor his father, he used to put on the big day chamudas. And to give honor to his father, he used to put on his precious clothing. Now why? We would think that if Esav wasn't that much of a tzaddik, so why? So Maral explains that Behemoth, by someone like Esav, he was able to honor his father and mother even more than Yaakov. Because the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah, in Masechta Kiddushin tells us, that the reality is a person has two fathers. It says he has a father and he has a Rebbe. And they're both fathers to him. It says, Oviv meviyu lidei eilam hazeh, v'rabbi meviyu lidei eilam habo. His father and mother bring him into the physical world, but the one who teaches him Torah brings him into the spiritual world. And they're both his fathers. What does this mean? It means that a Jew, he sees two worlds in front of him. He sees the physical world and he sees the spiritual world. This world and the next world. So therefore, he has a great attachment to his father and mother. But he realizes that there is something beyond them also. They brought him into the physical world. But there is an Almighty and his Torah that supersedes that. So therefore his father and mother cannot be his whole world. But what happens if you have someone that denies the world to come? Like Esav. He says, Lomali Bechere Va'anechi Eilich Lombus. What do I need something for the next world? I'm going to die in this world. There's no next world. So his whole world is only this world. So therefore, his whole existence, his whole life, is his father and mother. They brought him into this world and that's it. Therefore, they can serve their father and mother with greater zeal and with greater dedication. Now, this explains the clothing that they put on him and the jewels they put on him and also the jewels that they put on the street. What was this Kakifle shel Rabbi Yishmael though? Kakifle shel Yishmael, this was the mask of Rabbi Yishmael. Now this is interesting. This by rights didn't come to them. The jewels were theirs, because it states that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave these jewels to Rome. The big day Hamudais, the clothing, this also was theirs. You see, Esav ended up with it. He inherited it. But we see the mask of Rabbi Shmuel, that was not theirs. That was something they stole. They killed Rabbi Shmuel and they took that from him. Now what was this? Now this is beauty. Beauty is something which is both external but also internal. It's external because it's something that is the outer part of a person. But a true beauty has a radiance. For example, you can take a person, beauty that's on a live person and beauty that's on a dead person. Beauty that's of a dead person, that's purely external. But the beauty of a live person, that has radiance. That radiance, that comes from the innermost part of the person. That comes from the soul. The reason why Rabbi Shmuel had such beauty is because he was Kohen Gadol. He was the high priest. And the high priest would go into the most inner chambers of the Beis HaMikdash. And in the Beis HaMikdash was light. It states that the source of light was the Beis HaMikdash. Misham Nivra Eira. From there the light was created. This was the beauty that Rabbi Shmuel had. Actually, we in Tisha B'Av we gave a shir on Kamsa Bar Kamsa. There we spoke about one of the a woman that they captured, the Goyim had captured, that they never saw such beauty, and she was a daughter of the Kohen Gadol of the high priest. Now they saw that, they wanted it, because that is very close to the external world, and the external world they want. But it wasn't theirs, because that came from the light of the world, and the light of the world, that's Yaakov. So therefore it belonged to Yaakov. But they stole it. And they put it, they made a mask from it, and they put it on Esav to show that, on this person who represents Esav, to show that it's him. Then they declare. So these were the four things they did. Then they declare. Ach for the Marono Zayafno. The brother of our master is a Zayafno. He's an embezzler. He's fraudulent. He's a crook. Because through treachery he went and he stole our master's brochus. But Maya Hanil Ramobar Amusa. But after he stole all of the brochus, what did it help him? The brachas were supposed to give him mastership. Now we see not like that. We see in this world Esav is the master. Now this that they say, they're referring to the prophecy, but they understand something which is true. The Maral writes that had Yitzchok not loved Esav more than Yaakov, and had Yitzchok given Yaakov the brochus with a lay sholem, with a total heart, then these brochus would never even be temporarily interrupted, and Esav would never rule over him. The only reason why we find that there are times when Esav rules, like here in the Golus, is because the brochas were taken by treachery and they were not given with a full heart. So this that they say that you took it by treachery, what did it help you with? There is some truth in that. And then finally they say, but oboy ledain kad yokum dain. They know themselves though that when we make this celebration we better enjoy it. He who sees it, sees it. He who will miss it, will never see it again, because it's only once in a lifetime. But we better enjoy it, because it will come to an end. Because Esav cannot ride on the shoulders of Yaakov all of the time. Because the brocha, after all, was given, that you will be a master over your brother. And there will be a time when Yaakov will get up. And when Yaakov will get up, then Esav will have to fall. When Yerushalayim will be rebuilt, then Tzur, the cities of Esav, will be destroyed. This they know. So they say, therefore, enjoy it now. But when the tables are turned, then voiledain. Then it will be great tragedy for the other. This they know. And they know that there will come a time when from the seed of Yaakov will come a great individual. Someone who will be almost as perfect as him. Perfect as him. And he will be the one who will war against Esau and destroy him. And that will be the Melech HaMashiach. And then all of the brachos will be fulfilled. So this is the story. This is the celebration that they would have in Rome once every 70 years. And this we can understand from the background of our parsha. We should all be zeicher to see that day when kad yokum zeh will be nafel zeh, that when Yaakov will stand up again, then Esav will fall, and we'll see the perfection of Yaakov and Israel in the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.